Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, August 4th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on a donation tab on the top right side of the website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. What in the Gospel of Luke, coming up on chapter 16, read by Alexander Scobie. Luke 16 by Alexander Scobie.
Chapter 16. And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife, and marrieth another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight?
Yes, we have two tonight, John. The first is on May 16th of this year. I sent you a list of eight people that I thought would be ideal for you to reach out to and perhaps to gather on a Zoom call or have a special NLA call to seek a strategy on how to get the legal education into the schools. You asked me to resend the email, and I did, and then Jan asked if later if there was a response, and since then there has not. I thought it would have been ideal for such to have taken place before the start of the school year. What are your thoughts? Do you remember that email, John? Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, I was muted.
Oh,
yeah, there was one we talked about. It. I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, and I know you said you were going to look into it, but it doesn't sound like the same one. This was a list of 10 names. I don't recall that. Do you recall it?
Yeah, I've got a copy of it up here. I could read it if you like. It's not that long.
But, I mean, you got the 10 names, though? There's 10 individuals to try to contact? Is that what he's saying?
There's eight, I think. Yeah, eight names.
And they're in the list. Yeah, read that. Let's hear what it said. And does he get phone numbers or some contact information?
Their website or a way to contact them, yes.
Yeah, you know, I contact a lot of people on the website trying to get interviews, and nobody ever gets back to you. So, I don't know, we can try. Yeah,
let's
read it.
Let's say the names.
Yeah, let's read it and then say the names.
Okay, I'll read the whole thing. This is from LaRonda Fox from Kansas City, Missouri. She's been a member for years and years and years, probably 11. And it's requesting that you all visit this website, www.mow.uscourts.gov. And click on general information and then civic education to see what they have to offer. I've asked many within my community and 95% said they were not aware of these courses being offered. In 2018, I was in Liberty, Missouri, which is approximately 16 miles from Kansas City, before six teachers. One was retired, one from Williams Jewell College, one from a private school, and three from public schools. I asked each individually about the courses, and they all said their students have been taking the courses offered there and going to Jefferson City, Missouri. Now go to your federal court at your location and see what, if any, educational classes they have to offer. I am suggesting that you consider having a Zoom call to invite and see how and if we can start or should start approaching the proper entity to request making it mandatory curriculum requirements that legal education starts being taught in the schools from K to 12, starting the next school year or soon after. The following are those that I would recommend that you invite to the call soon, with NLA from being from New York and others from different locations that are on the same mission, could be interesting and informative. Consider reaching out to the following for more and more for the call. Now, there's eight people here. Be your own lawyer because access to justice is your right. Contact Ms. Lucinda Jones from Detroit, Michigan, and she has a website. It's a YouTube listing. It talks about her. to see the many videos offered by your empowerment lawyer for pro se litigant. That provides people with information concerning employment rights, judiciary accountability, and the right to fairness and equity in the court. It dismisses information on laws, it disseminates much better information on laws and happening in the judiciary to empower. Then get started and learn more about how to use legal resources for self-represented. As a pro se, contact Deborah Sloan and Sonia Braun from North Carolina, and they have a website. The next one is visit this website. It's Rule of Law Radio, and click on the radio to listen to 3 live weekly podcasts, which they offer on Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Here you will be able to ask questions. Reach out to Randy Kelton, Deborah Stevens, and Eddie Craig, who is from Texas. The fourth one is visit lawlessamerica.com and contact Bill Windsor from Florida to find lots of valuable information that he offers that includes topics such as how to fight judicial corporation, know how judges commit crimes, and more. The next one is secretjustice.com and contact George McDermott from Maryland. The next one is contact Brian Vakinovich, who is from Indiana and the author of the following 2 books. Good titles. First title is Motion for Justice, I Rest My Case. Rogues in Black Robes. I'm picking up a lot of noise from somebody who has their speaker open or their mic open. And then contact Brent Winters at commonlawyer.com, and we all know Brent. The 8th one is contact Fred Graves from Florida at howtowinincourt.com. Let me know your thoughts and focus on movement and outcome and take steps. And that's the 8. Really 9. There's come one that was double.
All right. Did that noise disappear? Because I muted myself. Maybe it was coming through me. Might be the air conditioner behind me. Are you hearing
it
right now?
Yes, it did.
It did go away. Let me try to... I got a fan on also. Let me try the fan first and hang on a minute.
Okay, so did you have any comments on that, John?
Did that go away now, the fan? Or are you still hearing it?
I think I could still hear it. I think the other way was better, when you were just muted or something.
Right. Let me try to put the fan on and shut the air off.
Kind of like somebody snorting or sniffling. Quiet now.
Okay, is it all gone now?
Pretty well.
Yes.
It's all gone. Yeah, it's strange because I always have the air on in here and usually no one's ever complained. Maybe Mike is just a little too sensitive to me. I don't know. Excuse me. Okay, one of the last ones, Graves, was brought up. That was a course I took. And I forget what he charges. I think his course is up around $400 now. I know when I took it was cheaper. I just don't remember the prices. And it was a good course from the standpoint of learning due process. And that's what I was interested. You know, he brought in court rules. He brought in jurisdictions, and particularly he focused in on statutes. One of the things he teaches is, you know, don't bring the Constitution into the court. There's plenty of statutes you can use instead. Use them. The class did help. It was huge for me because it really gave me an appreciation of due process, and that's what I was looking for, to understand the due process of the court. As far as the one that seemed to be on a court page, you know, the federal, something that the federal courts give you, I'm going to look a little into that. I'm sure you can get some due process stuff from that, but you got to really be careful on that, because they will put you in jurisdictions that you don't want to be in. Rules, again, you want to be able to discern these things, so you got to be careful with that. As far as the other people, I don't know. I'll have to take a look. If you can send me a copy of that, Jan. I don't know why I'm not remembering this. But, you know, mail me a copy of that. I'll take a look at some of these videos. I don't know if they are interviewing people or if they're just teaching or what they're doing. We do want to be careful, though, to make sure that we deal with things that are compatible to what we're teaching and what we're doing here, because we're focusing in on natural law, common law. And very easily you can fall from one jurisdiction into another jurisdiction. You need to maintain your jurisdiction, especially with these sneaky people. But I do think that once Trump cleans up the courts, he's trying to get a lot of judges in. Hopefully he'll put a lot of them away or get rid of a lot of them. We did do an indictment on all federal judges, and we did send a copy of that indictment to Bondi, Attorney General Bondi, and we also, of course, send a copy of that indictment to President Trump and all of his administration. So they all got a copy of that. And, you know, we also sent some other information, and we've been sending information to those individuals for quite some time now. Again, you know, are they going to acknowledge our, you know, grand jury indictments? It's going to be an interesting question. And as time goes on, I'm sure we'll see. It is imperative that all these judges leave. They've got to get rid of every single one of them. We can't leave, unless you can find a judge that actually has allowed people to open courts of record and allow it to go forward without his interference, which I doubt you're going to find. I've never found that. And I don't think they become judges, and if they did become a judge and they turned that direction, I'm sure they'd get rid of them quite quickly. The problem with the judges, and, you know, I'm kind of thinking a little different lately when I think about this abrogation of the common law courts, that they've shut our courts of justice down, and that they abrogated the courts of justice. And they really haven't abrogated the courts of justice. All they did was close the doors to the courts of justice. You know, the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, which the Bar Association, actually, they claim that the Supreme Court, you know, took care of the business and wrote the rules. But we know that the Bar had their hands in that, and it was probably already pre-written before they even pushed the legislation through. But anyway, it was in 1938 that legislation the legislation went through in 1934, but it was in 1938 when the rules, that the Supreme Court came up with their rules. And Rule 2 says that they have combined law and equity together, and they called it civil law. Well, that's not abrogating the law of the land. That's not abrogating the common law. The Constitution is clear that the law is the law of the land. And the word law, whether you look in Black's Law Dictionary or you go into Bouvier's Dictionary, you will discover that the word law on its own means the common law, that which proceeds according to the common law. So what they did do is they shut the doors of justice. And I don't know of any judge that ever allows that to open. Now, when you open up a court, a record, when you go into a court, and if you do get into a jury trial, it's supposed to be a court of record, but it's not, because it's controlled by the judge. I hear this all the time, where in many, many cases over the years that I've been looking into these things, they refuse people certain evidence to come into the court. I mean, who are these people? There is no evidence that should or can be lawfully refused. If someone has some evidence and they want to bring something into the court, even if it's dumb and stupid and it doesn't even make sense, nor does it help their case, it doesn't matter. People want to bring this what they think is evidence into the court. And actually, the evidence that they are bringing into the court that's refused is good evidence. They just don't want that evidence is because they're trying to push the court case to come to a conclusion in a way that they want it to come to the conclusion. They want to find the people guilty, ultimately. But the bottom line is no evidence should ever be refused. That's common sense. That's logical. That's obvious, you know. Again, they have not abrogated common law. They just closed the doors of justice. And by closing the doors of justice, every single judge on the federal bench is guilty of treason. Every single one of them. And we've proven that it's a conspiracy, because we've got hundreds of cases that we've put through the federal courts, and we've done a lot of state courts and other courts, and they all do the same thing, okay? They all just deny the due process. They deny opening a court of record. They deny constantly all these things, and they just throw your case out. And since they do the same thing no matter where it's at, then that proves conspiracy, because they all do it the same way. So the Rules Enabling Act have got to be, discharged. It's got to be overruled, thrown out, whatever words you want to use on that. It's got to, and the rules of the court, we need to go back to the common law rules. Now, the rules of common law is simple. Let's look at common law in itself. Common law in itself is extremely simple. People shouldn't get too, lost in concern that they don't understand what common law is, because it's not very easily defined, but I can define it very simply, and I don't know anybody would disagree with this that understands the common law. And common law is simply common sense with a focus on justice. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. That's what common law is, okay? Common sense with a focus on justice, looking at the facts and making a decision. At the end of the day, that's what the jury is to do. But these people have closed down our common law courts. They've closed down our courts of justice. Now, even equity courts were to be, and the word equity is, it really focuses in on justice. I mean, that's what equity ultimately focuses in on, that which is just. And common law, since we are a nation under common law, the rules for equity courts was also the rules of common law, okay? Which means, and that's why we have the ability to deny any kind of a law that we don't like, so we don't have to agree with the law, we can cast that law out. So we can deny it and refuse it. Jurisdiction is a major problem. They can't constantly bring you into their jurisdiction, and they have all these rules. And you know what? Even when you win in their jurisdiction, they still throw you out anyway. They're not going to give you a win. You know? I got a case that is still kind of going through the courts, and I've won through it twice, and they played some games. And I'm going to talk about that when this case is finally over. Some of the games they played. So common law is the key, and I'm not sure, you can't trust the courts. Now, again, I'm not telling people that they shouldn't go take those courses, but they better understand what common law is and what the common law jurisdiction is, and if they don't know due process, they probably don't understand those things. Anyway, so they need to learn that, and you can learn that here. You can learn things that they may go through the process, through their due process. But again, you have to be very careful, because they're going to bring up rules, they're going to bring up statutes, they're going to bring up you required this or that or whatever the case may be. So in any event, I'll take a look at some of these things. I'll give my thoughts. I don't know, again, some of these people, if they're YouTube videos, are they interviewing people? Are they talking to other people that discuss the law? If I can get an interview on that, then maybe I'd be interested in that. But I'll go try to listen to as much as I can. I can't, if it's a couple hours long, I can't spend that much time on these things. How many sites look like videos, Jan, do you know?
Oh, I think each one of them had a site.
Okay. All right, I'll take a look. I'll skim through it. You know, I don't know that I have the time to listen all the way through, but I should be able to, you know, get a good feeling by listening to different spots and jumping around each one of these, and then maybe I can comment a little on it then at that point. But, you know, we are looking for interviews, and we can use the help of anybody that comes and listens to us and any of our members that would want to make some contact with some podcasters and get us some information, connect them with Jan, and Jan will set up something where I can meet with these people and have a conversation and potentially get an interview, because that's how we're going to get more word out. So that's what we need to do. So anyway, I guess that's all I got to say about that right now. Okay, you have another question? Which, by the way, what I'm going to do, hang on one second, I got to turn my air back on, I'm dying in here. I'll just keep myself muted when you're talking. So, but you can talk, I can hear you as I go turn this on.
Okay. I just sent that, or forwarded that email to you, John. You should have that now. So that'll have all the links and stuff. The next question is, explain what is needed to become a member of NLA. State how often and when the numbers shown as members on this site were last updated. Two questions.
Okay. Hang on a second.
Chapter 16.
And I do have the fan on, and hopefully it doesn't interfere too much with us, but I'll shut it off when people are talking. All right, the first part of that question was basically how to become a member, and I guess they're looking for some statistics. I think that's what it pretty much they're looking for. And on the right-hand side of our website, anybody can become a member. It doesn't cost anything to become a member. But becoming a member gives you the ability to enter into our courses because we, you know, keep track of the courses. We give certificates out for the courses. We give a test out, testing for these courses. And so we need to know, you know, get the statistical information on the individual when they're taking these courses. And when they ask for a certificate, we can go back and see that, yeah, they did take the course and when they completed it, and we can give them a certificate if they want one. But our courses, most of our courses are free, but not all. We do have a couple of courses that we require people to be a premier member. And a premier member is someone that's given us $5 a month or more. So it's not, you know, it's a cup of coffee and a bagel or something once a month. You give it up, and, you know, that's a premier member. And if someone's really that poor that they really can't afford the $5 a month or more, and we've had a few people, we'll let them in for free. So that they can take all the courses. Now, we do also have a court course. You know, it's under Education Starts Here, and it's called Court Access in the Common Law. Okay, you can click on that and get some info on that. I do believe I have it on the top right. Yeah, on the top right-hand side of the website right here, you can click on this pick here, this picture, and you'll go to the page, which gives you information on Court Access in the Common Law. It's an 90-hour video course. Okay, we give the first session for free so people can get a flavor of it and see if they're interested. We've listed, of course, all of the things that we, the table of contents, all the things that we cover in our course. So we cover a lot of, this is the list right here that we're going through. So we cover a lot of information. And the focus of our conversations and information on these in this course is ultimately on the common law and, of course, due process is the key. Now, due process in the courts, that works pretty well. I mean, the courts still run with the process called due process, and if you can get it, sometimes they'll deny you due process. But due process is really a way that the courts work. It's a formula, a lot of forms out there, so you don't have to create forms, you know, when you file a paper for this or file a paper for that. I usually take the form and make it my own by changing wording and different things on it more often than not, but not all the time. But the courts generally is pretty good. It's not that bad. So for that part of the course, again, you need to be able to discern the language that they're going to give that will bring you under their jurisdiction and thereby and therefore under their thumb. So that's the thing you got to be concerned with. So anything connected to the court, it's going to be bar controlled and provided for. The bar creates the minions of the New World Order. The entire destruction of this nation could not have been done without the minions of the New World Order. They have taken total control of our courts. But going back just a little bit, and I know I'm getting a little bit off track here, but going back a little bit to, we'll skip that for now. Now, what was the second part of that, Jan? There was a second part of that question.
It's when and how is the number or the list on the right-hand side of the web page done, basically, was the question. You know, it's just the list of all the members. And
well, everybody else, do you guys remember what was the second part of that question? Oh, yes, statistics, I guess. On the right-hand side of our website, let me go back to the welcome page. On the right-hand side of our website, you come down a little bit, you'll eventually get a place where it gives it statistics of, the membership and information concerning the things that we're doing. So as you come down, it's a little ways down. You'll see we've constituted all 3,133 or 34 counties. We have a total membership right now is 11,801 people. Total grand jury administrators, and I wouldn't count too much on this, but 1,268 people have signed up. But I don't think they're going to be active in that. There's a lot of positions open for that. That particular job is a professional job, so that when we win the courts back, the people need to take over the courts, so people need to be trained to go into the courts in order to orientate the grand jury and the trial jury, the petit jury. I haven't written a handbook yet. I got a lot of notes and stuff, but I haven't gotten around to written. I'm not in a big hurry because it's still a little ways away. But we do have all our courses is what is required for anyone to be an administrator for the juries, the grand juries and the trial juries. And what's required is that they take all of our courses, okay? They need to take our courses on the we have a foundational study, that's free. We have Constitution Course 101, that's free. We have a civics course. Civics course is very good because it reveals a lot of the problems and the way that this nation got into the problems that we have. But anyway, that's a free course also. I think the militia course is free also. A government by consent course, we ask people to be premium members for that, give them $5 a month or more. And then we have the jury administrators accredited course. That is a course I believe you have to be a premium member for also. But anybody that wants to take the job, we're looking, now is the time to educate yourself. And I think we're going to require that people take the government by consent course. Because, again, if you're going to be a administrator that is going to guide a grand jury or a trial jury, you should know due process. You should know how the courts work. You should understand the structures of the courts. And we teach that in the court in our course, which is government by consent course. So those are the courses, and anybody does those courses, if they want a certificate, we'll send them a certificate of completion for that. Most of these courses have tests. I'd like to get together a government by consent course. We don't have a test for that one, and I'd like to try to find time or maybe find someone who might want to go through that and kind of create questions and so that we can put quiz together for each one of these chapters. If we're going to and we're building committees of safety. Let me go back to statistics because grand jury administrators, I mentioned, 1,200 people. We have total county committees of safety organizers, people organizing committees of safety. We have 204 of them going on right now. We have state coordinators and and other individuals, but I don't trust those numbers that much. A lot of these people will sign up for something and then they don't do anything or they don't follow up on it, and that's unfortunate. But that's just the way it is, you know. So anyway, that's what we have for the course, for the numbers, for the statistics. But getting back to the courses here, anybody who wants to become an administrator, and we're looking for 4 administrators and 1 paralegal who is also an administrator, so we should probably say 5. But so 4 and 1, 5 altogether, because, again, they need all to take these courses. And this is a paid position. Right now, the people who are pulling these juries together and orientate them are bar attorneys, bar people. And we need to, and judges, they get to come in and say certain things to the jury, not necessarily the grand jury, but the trial jury when a case starts, they're given instructions. Well, they're not allowed to do that. That's unlawful because, again, they're tainting the jury. They're directing a jury in a certain direction, which they're not permitted to do. And usually, of course, they'll lead them to the position or the point that, hey, you get to decide the facts, but I get to decide the law. And here's the law, and if you find that they broke that law, you have to call and find them guilty. And again, that's violating everything. I mean, that is tainting the jury. Also, they have these questionnaires. If you go up, we have a copy of the federal questionnaire. Each state questionnaire, I guess, is different. So we only put the federal questionnaire up there. So you can go look at the federal questionnaire, and you can see the kind of questions. They're really looking to stack the juries. They're looking for specific individuals for specific cases. So they'll ask questions like, you know, for instance, do you have a weapon? Does anyone in your household have a weapon? Do you know anybody who has a weapon? They'll ask questions like that. What news do you listen to? You can listen to CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox, you know, where do you get your news from? Why do they ask these questions? Because they want to get the right person to put onto the right jury so that they can get their conviction. Because that's what it's all about. And people don't realize when you're in a criminal case, everyone's against you. You know, you have the prosecutor, he's against you. The judge is against you, too, because he's looking to find you guilty. There's money in it for him, I'm sure. But in any event, there is money in finding people guilty and putting them in jail. Okay, so there's money to be made by lots of different individuals along that line. And what people don't realize is even their lawyer is against them. Because at the end of the day, they're going to service the court before they service you. And if the judge pulls that lawyer in and says, you're not going to bring this up, you're not going to bring that up, and we're not going to talk about this at all. And you know, they understand if they bring those things in, either A, they can be sanctioned, or B, they'll lose their license. More likely, the so-called license, you know. So anyway, this is the problems we're up against. In the past, the people called and orientated and took care of bringing the juries in, not orientating them anyway. Not the court itself, not bar attorneys, not the judge. We need to go back to that. So that's what we're looking to do. And so we need 5 individuals in every county. We have 3,133 counties. And one of them has to be a paralegal because it's one individual really has to understand the due process of the court and how to write the papers and in what form. Of course, we have to make some corrections because they would do it towards the civil law or the civil law process statutes and things where we're looking at common law. And so, again, people are found guilty of certain things. It's not necessarily the statutes that they're guilty of. It's the crime in itself. We know when a law is broken. We don't need a statute to tell us what it is, nor do we need a statute to tell us what the penalty should be. That's up to the people, you know. And people, you know, they have the right to deny any law that's brought up, you know. We have to take care of that. And so we have to educate people in order to take those positions. And so we are doing that with our forces. So, okay. Are there any other questions, Dan?
Let me run through this one again. State how often and when the numbers shown awesome. As members on this site were last.
By the way, you have there's a queue open. Anybody wants to get into the queue? If you're on a phone, it's a star 6 and a 1 to get into the queue. If you on an app or browser, should be a button.
Okay, and that number is the number
Jeff, I'm not hearing you.
Can you hear me?
Jan, looks like he's trying to talk.
I'm hearing Jan just fine. I don't know why you can't hear Jan.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and make a stab at this.
What do you say? Something wrong here?
Do you not hear Jan? Hey, Terry, do you hear Jan? I hear Jan.
I can hear Eric.
Fine.
John, okay. I think you're the only one that can't hear Jan.
I don't hear anybody.
Well, you don't hear anybody?
Almost plugged.
Okay, let me make a stab at this. That number that's shown on the right side of the NLA webpage is the current number of members.
You might have to close down and come back in.
Everybody can hear me, John.
Fixed us.
John.
Right, I'm gonna bail out and come back in. I'll be right back.
So anyway, as I was saying, that number on the right side of the web pages is the total number of members. Now, if I say for the sake of argument, this is close to the right number, it's 11,800 members right now. That number will stay there for...
Started.
That number will stay there at 11,800 until a new member signs up. When a new member signs
Kelly,
up, that
Eric,
number increments
Jan,
by
you guys
one.
Can get some conversation going, and I'm going to have to reboot my computer because I have no sound here. I presume you're hearing me. So I don't
yes.
know.
Okay. Maybe John left this time and is rebooting. So let's go back. Supposing it's the number of members stands at 11,800. Someone comes along right now at this moment and signs up. That number will increment by one when someone signs up. If 10 people signed up today, that number would increase by 10 members. Now, as far as when it's updated, it's only updated when a new member signs up. If nobody signs up for the rest of the year, it'll stay the exact same number, 11,800. So it's an irregular interval, unpredictable. It's just whenever a new member signs up, that number increments. And so it's always current. Now, I did find several years ago that there were a few little glitches in the system, so the number was always incrementing properly, but it was off by, I forget, 20 members or something like that. Had to do with some people, when they sign up again for a course after they've become a member and they got counted again and so on. So the number there was a little bit higher than the actual number. And that's all there is to that. It's very simple. It's just a binary counter. Are you back with us, John? Eric Terry, Thursday at 4:30. Can you make a meeting? And Ed, can you make a meeting at 4:30? I'm going to send out a note tonight.
I should be. Yeah.
Okay. Are you talking, Ed? We aren't hearing you, Ed. You and John got the opposite problem. You'll have to go out and come back in if you want to talk. John, John, where art thou? Your video is live.
My question was the date of that meeting.
It's Thursday this week.
Thank you.
3 days from now. Do you have an answer based on that?
4 o'clock. That was on Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Do you think you'd be able to make a meeting at 4:30 our time, Eastern time?
4:30 Eastern. Okay. 1:30. 30. Okay.
Thank you.
You want to take questions or you want to keep going?
Well, John is here. I see his little mouse running around on his screen. I think he has something in mind. He's going down the list. Can you hear us now, John?
I don't see him.
Well, he's moving the attendee list around.
Oh, that might be me. I thought I stopped my share.
Yeah,
okay. Paused the meeting, whatever that means.
There it is. I paused my share and then canceled my share.
The recording has started.
Okay, let's see what Q&A says. You want to try one?
Between
Eric and you and me and Ed, we ought to be able to handle it.
Well, I thought John was, we were stepping all over him earlier.
Okay, who's this? Wireless caller 451. Yeah, hi. What's your name and your state?
You know, I don't mean to annoy you, sir. It sounds a little bit like I'm interfering.
No, you're not interfering. You're here for a question, and we'd like to hear your question.
Well, I was on the call last week, and I noticed the same thing. I just wanted to give you some feedback that the, and I'm checked my phone, but I know that the audio is kind of crushed, where it's like maybe it's overmodulated. And the same thing with John. And I there's things he said that I couldn't understand. I just wanted to tell you that, you know, maybe if you have a VU meter, you could, I don't know, or maybe step back from the mics, you know, I mean that, you know, everybody's got a different kind of mic.
Is that a little better right there?
Oh, yeah, right there. That's great. Yeah.
Okay. I was overmodulated and I'm using a laptop. I usually have my desktop,
yeah,
up, but it's not working today.
Okay.
Go ahead. Do you have any more questions?
Well, please tell John because his does the same thing. And it's
well, I'm back right now. How am I sounding now? Testing, 1, 2, testing.
Sounds good to me, John. What do you think?
Can you hear me, John?
Say something, John. So I
testing, 1, 2, mic check.
It's a little better. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's easy to just, I just thought I'd give you the feedback.
Yeah, just for me, I figured I just had to reboot my computer.
Well, no, but it was doing it last week, too, and I almost got off the call. I mean, I don't like to fight with it. I really want to hear what you have to say. I really sincerely do. And,
all right, well, if anybody does experience some problems, they should let us know so that we can try to fix it.
Yeah, sometimes, well, I'm a sound engineer. I'm not trying to impress you or anything or be one up with you. But sometimes just cranking the audio down on the mic, on your mic, and it'll, because some people turn them all the way up, and that's when it gets overmodulated. So I hope that can be useful. That's all.
I hear John just fine.
Okay, good.
It could be a line. If you want to try and come in on a, you know, just hang up and call back and see if that.
Yeah,
helps.
No, I've done it a couple times.
Well, you did it. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I don't mean to interfere on the meeting. It's just that I'm really interested in what and everybody has to say.
We appreciate your input.
Yeah. Well, my name's Elizabeth. And
thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, this is my second call. I'm trying to I've had some experiences, personal experiences, in trying to work out a problem that I'm in the thick end right now. I'm not, it's not a crime thing. It's more like a crime that's happened to me. I am definitely very disrespectful. Well, yeah, I've lost respect for the court. And it's like the existing, let me see if I can say the correct terms, but the admiralty law, it's a crime. It's just a total twisted crime. And it sounds like, you know, people are going to try to work with it. I'm not interested at all, because there are written statutes which are not even lawful, where the prosecutor can enter, erroneous evidence toward the defense, you know, and that kind of thing. And I mean, they just do what they want. And that's not a court to me. It's like a gangster thing, you know. So
it's an inquisition.
Beg your pardon?
It's an inquisition.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it really is. And that's when last week I heard you say something about, I believe I heard you say that each state has a common law court right now. I mean, it's starting. Did I hear that correctly?
Not really.
Every state is supposed to have an equity court and a court of record. And you can tell the difference between an equity court and a court of record by, if a jury's there, you're in a court of record. If a judge is making decisions, you're in an equity court. Now, it is possible to allow the judge to arbitrate within that system. You can choose to do that. That's acceptable. But the problem is...
But that's not acceptable to the Constitution.
Well, no, it is acceptable if you want to. You see, if you can go into the court and you can make a very quick case and you can choose the judge to make the decision, as long as he makes his decision according to the common law, that would be fine. And just bear in mind, you know, in order for you, if it's a civil court, you're going after someone civilly, you're suing somebody. If it's under $20, well, you don't have a jury trial.
Right.
You can have a judge, and it's still a justice court. It's still a court of common law. It's just that, and as long as the judge is following the rules of common law, we're in good shape, and doesn't apply any statutes. Any statutes that's applied in a court should be applied only upon an individual that is working for the government in one way or another. Maybe there's some government agency, or they're operating some commercial activity. You know, those regulations.
But see, sir, what I'm hearing you say, though, is that we're starting to mix it now. It's going to get mixed, and it won't work.
They don't open courts of record no more. They're shut down. They've been shut down since at least 1938.
I don't mean to take up the call. I mean, this is an open line, but I'm just not interested in any of this stuff that I've seen. I mean, people are totally abused. They're just sacked. And anybody who walks in there and knows anything about it is asking for trouble. Because the minute they know that somebody knows something, they're going to be the target. I mean, that's human nature, and that's common sense.
Yeah, but that is true. That is absolutely true. And that's what we're working on. We're working to try to get our courts of justice back. And, I don't know if you were in early enough where I was speaking a little bit about we had indicted the federal judiciary, the entire federal judiciary, every judge we indicted. And we sent a copy of that indictment to Bondi, Attorney General Bondi, and of course Trump and his entire administration, about 40 individuals altogether. And so we're going to see where that goes. We have sent the presentments to the president, and we have heard the president talking about certain things now that was in our presentment. Now, I don't know whether it's just because they had the knowledge and they're talking on that subject matter, or maybe they're, learning from us. I don't know how many of these people really understand what a republic is, because they keep calling us a democratic republic. It's an oxymoron. It's like trying to mix oil and water. It doesn't work.
Well,
just because That's because Jews are representatives, okay, by popular vote. That does not make us a democracy. It just makes common sense that we get to choose who's going to represent us. But that's not what a democracy is, and that confuses people. But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that, well, once the terms are defined, because most people in the world, I don't know, they aren't even literate. You know, they don't even read. So, but once they understand what that is, and something's going to have to happen, and the light bulb's going to have to come on about that, then they won't call themselves a democracy anymore. You know, because it's really it's not a government by the people. You know, so. I'm just saying stuff.
Absolutely. Look, we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. Trump is fixing the troubles. He said in his inauguration, he even said it before he was inaugurated, but he said, when his inauguration, I was elected not to take power, but I was elected to take power and give it back to the people. Okay.
Right.
And I do believe he's working diligently to do that. He's chosen the best people for his administration. They're all focused in on the same thing. Unfortunately, some of them are lawyers. And unfortunately, they don't understand what a republic is. There's no such thing as a democratic republic. It just doesn't work. And we're a special kind of republic. We're the only common law or natural law republic in the world. You know, there's about 300 republics, across the world. But we're the only one that's a natural law republic. And that's a huge difference, okay?
Yeah.
And we have our unalienable rights, protected by the Bill of Rights. But people don't understand that, and that's a major problem. You see, if people don't know how to have government by consent, then, he can give back to the people everything they want, but if they don't do the right, if they don't get educated to understand how to have government by consent, then we're just going to end up back here again,
So, I see that.
By the way, we were talking about different courses and different things. If you go under the Welcome tab here and you come down to books by John DeRash, I've written about 15 books. I'm working on my 16th book now. But Government by Consent is a book. I've made it as cheap as possible. It's $39.95. It's huge. It's 550 pages or something like that. The other thing is Court Access and the Common Law.
I have that.
Yeah, so these are two books that really will give you a lot of knowledge and information.
The thing about me is that, I'll tell you, I'm this way about a lot of things. It's like I need to be inspired to learn this, and I am. But I'm tired of pretending like I understand things that I don't, there's a lot to learn there. And I noticed, and I haven't read the book yet. I'm reading the handbook just to get acclimated a bit. But a lot of my experience has come to show me what doesn't exist. And in the state I live in, there is no law. It's just whatever people feel like, and so that has to change. I guess that's just part of the devolution thing. We haven't out here. The gas prices are not lower. The grocery prices are not lower, and everything is the same it was. And the same thing with public, any kind that you call a sheriff. It's kind of like drawn sticks. You don't know what you're going to get. I'm just kind of in a learning curve here.
As far as the economy is concerned, I think you're going to feel and see a huge difference by the end of this year. Everything takes time to work its way out to accurately across the nation. But bear in mind, some things are more expensive in some places than others, depending, for instance, fuel. Gasoline. It's different all over the place, and that might have to do with location and getting it to that location. I don't know. Also, there are state taxes, federal tax, and state tax, and maybe the state tax is heavier than they should be. That's another situation or a problem. But like Trump said he's doing is a drill, baby, drill. And so he's going to bring oil from within. And that's key. And we'll be selling that. And what he's doing is huge. But on the other side of the coin, okay, we need to take this nation back. And if we don't take this nation back, and we can't do it, as Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. You must have a basic education. And we need to teach our children, train our children, an education, a proper education, as Jefferson called it. And we're interested, and I'm interested very much, and also there's a friend of mine, Brent Allen Winters. He's an author, and he wrote the book, The Excellence of the Common Law. He's written some other books. And both of us are interested in taking our books and even writing other books to create textbooks for children and to bring them through a proper education. But, of course, that takes time and money. And so we are looking for funds to do that if we can accomplish that goal. I think we already mentioned, and if not, it will be mentioned because we're going to do another presentment to the president, I think, soon. And what I want to mention, basically, and I'm pretty sure we already have mentioned, I've got to go back and look, that our children need a proper education. And that if the schools that are receiving any kind of federal monies, which is pretty much every school, even the private schools, they receive some federal money, then they are required to teach a certain curriculum. And we have to have a proper curriculum, you know. But right now there is none. And I never learned enough in school. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and I never learned enough in school about how things work, how government works, how the courts work, or the judicial. I never learned much of that at all, just basics, nothing big. But and today it's even worse, though. I think the kids aren't learning anything. You know, they're learning woke is what they're learning. Yeah. And of course, that's all ending. But we have to get a proper education. The other thing is the people have to get a proper education. The destruction of this world, I don't know how we can survive between technology and the smartphones and AI. I don't know that we can survive this. I really don't.
No. Well, maybe once they take down the television, as we know it, people will have to do something. Maybe they'll start talking to each other. And
well, I don't see that. Look at people taking the easy way out. Children, there was something I saw somewhere. Goodness, just a quick little video I saw somewhere about someone talking about education, and they were talking about, this woman was talking about her daughter that went to work for the first time, was 16 years old, and she called home, she typed, text home to mom, I misunderstood this whole thing. They want me to work 5 days a week. I mean, that's how bad it is. And children are too busy playing with those little buttons and all those videos. It's taking up all their time. And when Musk finally gets out all of these, robots, he's claiming that in the next 5 years or so, maybe 10 or whatever it is, that he'll have millions and millions of robots out there. And he's not the only one, okay? So robots will become cheap, and every child will eventually have their robot, or family will have their robot, and they don't need to learn nothing no more. They can tell, they can have the robot ask the robot the questions, everything they want. AI, they ask AI the question, they'll tell you everything you want. That's what they're doing right now. Dr. Berg, he's a doctor that I follow on YouTube. He's into, supplements and vitamins. And what he did is he went and asked AI questions concerning medical things and problems and situations and conclusions, and all of the destructive things that are being taught to our doctors and through the pharmaceutical companies because they control the education. That's what they're going to learn, and that's what everything is an error. How to treat this problem? How to treat that problem? What's the best thing for this? And what's the best thing for that? And every one of them was destructive. Okay, doctors are great to put people back together again if they get into a car accident or something. But when it comes to illness, they're horrible. They make things worse. They cause other problems. That's because the pharmaceutical companies, they want to make their sale, and it's all destructive. I don't see things getting better there. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it all goes back to the same place. I don't know. I've done a little bit of studying on the Jesuits. Mm-hmm. And, it's all counter-reformation. this has just been an old war, you know.
And that's only one of many problems up there with these people that are, you know, part of Leviathan, the New World Order, you know. And it's a mess. So I don't know that we can survive AI. The genie's out of the bottle. Look, you're not going to have actors no more. Movies, you tell AI to make a movie, do this, that, and the other thing, and that's it. Hey, make some changes on this. I'd like to do this. Put a more of that. And that's, you'll have a movie. I mean, you know, I'm an author, and I've written 15 books, and people won't write books no more. You have AI write the book for you. So you're only going to get the status quo.
Yeah, they don't have any life experience. They don't.
Yeah.
They're not alive, really. They're just walking around.
It is a mess. It's a mess.
Well, you know, this is the thing about this Constitution. Otherwise, I don't even think I'd just be walking away from the situation of problems that I can get in. You know, I'm up against. But you know, it was given to us by God. It wasn't given to us by AI or the fallen angels, which is what I see all this AI is. It's fallen angel technology, and that to me just makes a lot.
Well, it's definitely a tool of Satan, no doubt about that. You know,
comment.
I mean, we.
Yeah, go ahead. Jump in.
But I'm just saying, though, and I'll be quiet, that the thing is that God is actually in the courtroom when we bring God into the courtroom.
You seem to drift away from your mic. Get a little closer to your mic.
Really? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Pardon. Thank you. I'm just saying that that God, Almighty God, gave us the Constitution, and we have to bring Almighty God into the courtroom, which isn't a big. I mean, it's a very natural thing. We bring the truth and God into the courtroom, and you know this means that the judges will be brought to the same level as we are, and the jury are supposed to make the decisions. Not the prosecutor and the defense attorney and the judge. You know, this is like all of these things have to come because God gave us this Constitution if we practice it. That's why I'm real concerned about, you know, the there's always somebody, you know, like the Cracker Jack box. You know, there's one in every box. It's like, you know, there's always going to be a troublemaker to ask rhetorical questions and get people all spun up so they can't have a conversation and split the group. That's what, it's classic, mm-hmm. you know, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, you're exactly right. I want to say two things. One is that Hippocrates, way back, he was a Greek, way back in what, 700 BC?
Okay.
Way, a long time ago. He said, that which is used develops, that which is not used wastes away. We're working on, you know, all this AI stuff. We're losing our biggest asset, which is our brain, which has to be used. The second thing is that Rules Enabling Act, if you ever research that.
What's that?
If you ever research the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, June 19th, 1934, 73rd Congress, you will find out that they took rules and replaced your rights with those rules. And that's why you don't have your rights anymore inside of a courtroom. So,
and who are they? Who are they?
The people who wrote the rules.
Okay.
That would be the deep state or the minions.
Yeah.
Well, basically, that is the minions of the New World Order. And the minions of the New World Order are the esquires. They're bar attorneys, bar taught. And they wrote the rules. And, and it's probably pre-written a long time ago. A lot of their plans are pre-written, and they're just executing them little by little over time. They've been working on this thing for 100 years. And so that's the problem here. But I'd like to say that, you know, look at, it is true that Jesus Christ is the king of the court. That's who the king of the court is. And the 12 individuals, they are to operate and look at things with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. They're to consider the facts of the case and apply their common sense and then with an eye on justice. And at the end of the day, before they finish their work, they have to ask themselves the question, especially if they're finding the person guilty, does this person, should we give them any mercy? It's got to be yes. Now, they may not deserve mercy, and they may say, no, no, we're not going to give them mercy. So, but you see, you know, court is supposed to seek justice, not to seek to apply the law, but to apply justice. And there's a big difference between the law and justice, okay? And sometimes even when you break the law, it's still, you know, if you're starving and you have a family and you stole a loaf of bread, you know, you're not going to convict that person. Of course, it's a very simple thing. But the point is that there is a point with that, you know, there are extenuating circumstances that always has to be considered. In these courts, there is no extenuating circumstances. There is no mercy. There is nothing but just hard, cold rules and laws. And everybody's treated the same. And, you know, you do this, you're going to get X amount of years or whatever the case may be. Mm. And again, common law is not about incarcerating people, although some people do need to be incarcerated, obviously some violent people. But generally, common law is really about, you know, really restoring the individual that was injured. You know, in order for there to be a crime, there's got to be an injured party, and that person needs to be restored. Even the courts, they may give someone a fine, they may take all of their property and get the fines from that and put the person in jail. And so, but they don't give nothing to the injured party. They cast you out of the room. We got our job done, and you gave us the case, and we can make the money.
Yeah, right.
It's a horror story. The minions of the New World Order, these people have all been brainwashed. All these lawyers are totally brainwashed. They have no clue on who we are as a people. They don't know the Constitution. They never learned it in law school. They don't teach it. I know that's a fact. My brother went to law school. He said they brought the Constitution up for about 20 minutes or a half hour out of his whole court time in school. They always went back to the rules of the court. They went back to statutes and all those things, civil law. But he never went to practice law. In any event, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah.
So we have a major problem. I don't see us surviving AI. And the only hope that we might have, again, is to get the people educated and then requiring a proper education, number one, keep an AI out of the schoolroom, you know, out of the schoolhouse, and not allowing cell phones into school. If we do those things, maybe we have a chance, because at least during that time period of learning, they can learn to think. They can learn to use their logic and understand and see the harmony of logic and justice, who we are as a people, who the founding fathers were, how we came to be, you know, the nation that we become, how the court system really does work, how the political process actually does work, because they're not teaching any of that. But if we don't teach that, and kick AI out of schools, and kick the cell phones, they should be banned from schools, we're not going to be able to survive as a nation. I don't think we're going to survive as a world.
Well, I was noticing how AI all has just been kind of put on us without voting on it, or, you know, no bill was passed to put AI in our country. I mean, it's been, you know...
Well, I don't think that you can really... You know, again, it's a touchy situation here, but look, AI it's a commercial activity. It needs to be controlled. It's not controlled.
Right, right. And you know that because, you know, I mean, to me, AI is not a power greater than me. It's a system that is controlled by people who have they've got the keys and the codes and, you know, they have the intelligence to be able to put that together, but, you know, even it's real subtle how some, like I was reading something last night that, you know, the AI referring to something said, you know, like with Doge and all the great things that were able to come about because of an far advanced system that could do all that math and computing and figure out what's what. You know, these are things that are given to us, but it said that this is something that no human mind could have ever done. Now, that was the way the writing was, and it's like, oh, see right there. It's telling me that this wasn't human, and so, but see, God's bigger than that. And, you know, like, and I'm not religious, but I am a Christian, and, you know, Revelation 9 talks about that this locust army, they're going to have hair like women and teeth like lions and faces like men. And, you know, but they say they're not.
Yeah, but
May I just finish? May I just finish? And I'll be. But it says to not touch those who have the seal of God in their forehead. And Satan has to obey that. He has to obey it. It's not an option. And these fallen angels, it is not an option. They have to obey that. The thing is, what is this seal of God in my forehead? What does that look like? And what is that for me? You know, and that's
the word.
Yeah. And that's to me what the Constitution represents, because it was given to us by God.
Well, the Constitution. You look at the essence of the Constitution is under the common law, the natural law. And right. The foundation of our founding documents is the Declaration of Independence. And in the Declaration of Independence, we're under the laws of nature and nature's God. That's the law of the land. That's who we are as a people. It's referred to from a couple places in the Constitution, referring back to the foundation of our law, which again is the Declaration of Independence. And in the Declaration of Independence, we have government by the consent of the people. And our founding fathers set up a system. Ultimately, it had been set up in order to discover who we are as a people and to bring this nation to who we are as a people, you know, that we have the Constitution that we live underneath. That whole process, okay, is under common law. But man wrote the Constitution. The Constitution is not part of the Bible, but it has the essence. It really has, the Bill of Rights is, because the Bill of Rights really lays out some of the laws of nature's, the protection that we have under certain unalienable rights that's referred to. And so these unalienable rights that are written down in the Bill of Rights, which is the capstone of the Constitution, that is ultimately, of course, the protection of our unalienable rights. You know, we don't get our rights from the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is there to protect our unalienable rights. It's automatically given to us. And so when we became a nation and desired to live under the blessings of God, which we read about that in the Declaration, it's also in the preamble that the job of government, one of 6 points of the job of government is to protect the blessings of liberty. And they're not doing it. But the thing is that is not part of the Bible. But I'd like to just make one point. I think it's important. And if you want to get into this discussion and communication, you can join our Bible studies. Yes. Well, you can join our Bible studies. But when you brought up Revelations chapter 9 and you talked about these different things, that's a parable. Revelations, the entire book of Revelations, is a parable. It's not a literal thing. And it's
I do not agree. Well, I can prove that to you,
but I'm not going to do that here.
But you'd have to prove it here, because you can't.
Oh, no, I could prove it in our Bible study, but I can't prove it here. It's happening.
I mean, that's part of the private interpretation of the Bible. No, it's not an interpretation here. I mean, it's about the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit is probably the great author of common sense and the truth. And it's God himself. Christ sent him. Christ sent the Holy Spirit after he left. And that's God with us.
So are we going to see a woman sitting on a dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns coming up out of the sea? Is that what we're going to see? Are we going to see another woman who is clothed with...
That's metaphorical. That's true.
I'm not going to argue about this, sir.
There's nothing to argue about. No, there's something that's not okay with you, and I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to force anything on you.
The woman out of the sea, I mean, that's the one world system. I mean, I don't mean to get into all of this. The sea is the people, and it's defined in there that the waters are the peoples.
What's your proof text for that?
I'd have to look it up.
Why don't you look it up, bring the proof text, and come to our Bible study, because we can discuss things there. This is not a proper place to discuss the Bible.
We will bring up God. Hold on.
Okay. I'm not, this is my point.
You know, I'm here to find out if I belong here. I probably don't belong here. I'm really trying to see where I belong, because I am not going to go into any of these horrid places they call courts. They're really banks. They've got Babylonian robes, and I know that's what I was told, and I looked and I said, yeah, that's right, that's what I see. But I really don't want to push anything on you.
Well,
and,
now that you've spoken, give me a minute, okay? Let me just express my thoughts, and then we can take it from there, okay? But here's the thing, okay? The purpose of this program that we run here is to discuss many things, particularly law and our government and the problems and solutions and different things, and educate people on our founding fathers and all those things. We're not going to ignore the fact that Jesus Christ is the king of the courts, and we rule from the hearts. God said his law, he wrote his law in the hearts of men. So we know right from wrong. And when we sit on a jury, we're on the king's bench. And this goes all the way back into history. We're on the king's bench. And the king of the court is Jesus Christ, and we're to represent Jesus Christ, which is to represent that which is right and good, that which is just. Okay? So with that kind of a conversation, of course, we'll have. But when it comes into Bible interpretation, especially something like the book of Revelations, this is not the proper venue for that. But we do have a venue for that. If you'd like to join that and learn a little bit, we'll listen to what your thoughts are, and we'll give you proof text on what we think and what we've concluded. We're open for correction. And what we don't do is, you know, God is very clear on certain things. And one of the clear things he's clear about is we have to be careful of the doctrines of men. Okay? And there are men out there, with their own doctrines, their own communications. I just want to say one thing about the Bible. And then I'll let you have a thought or two if you want, and then we'll move on to our discussion. Okay? But the Bible is not open for a private interpretation. The Bible is written line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible is its own dictionary. The Bible is its own interpretation. So if you want to make a point concerning the meaning of these things, for instance, the woman that is sitting on the dragon, and it talks about the tail of that dragon taking sweeping away a third, okay, of the people. But the bottom line is, you go into the Bible, what's the tail? You go into the Old Testament, I think it's in Psalms, where it says the tail is the false prophet. Okay, so we already know what the tail of the dragon is. We know what the dragon is. We know what the sea is. The Bible tells us these things. Jesus taught us these things in parables, if you go into the four Gospels. Okay, and that refers us back into many of the parables of the Old Testament. And so that's how we interpret those things. But if you're interested in those things, you can join us in our Bible study. We have that on Wednesday night. You can get that information. Let's see. If you come under education, it starts here. I think, you come down here, and you come down to Bible studies. Okay, you can click on Bible studies, and you can get information here. Well, right now, we're in the Gospel of John. We've already done a record in Matthew, and we've done a record in the book of Revelation, and many other discussions and informations and word studies and so on and so forth. So if you're interested in that, come join us there. Okay? And maybe we'll find correction between the two of us. You know, correction is grievous to those who have forsaken the way, but I, like you, I'm not perfect. I know I have error somewhere, and I'm thankful for anyone that can correct me, because we need that correction. But we show that proof in our Bible studies by using the Bible to give us that proof of correction.
Right.
But anyway, you can have the final word, and we'll move on to the next person.
Well, I can go on to the next person. I don't mean to take so much time.
All right. Well, it was a good conversation. So appreciate it. We didn't have that many people in the queue anyway, but we have two people right now in the queue, so we'll go to the next person. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Oh, you bet.
Okay, we're going to take our next caller. It's someone coming in on the phone, it looks like. Is that Kimberly, 678 area code? We got the mic.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey there. Yes, my name is Kimberly, and thank you so much for the earlier discussion and everything that's been talked about. This is my first night, and I'm interested in the jury administrator course. I was going to request the fee rundown again on that.
In the education tab, if you come to education starts here, you're on a phone, so you're not seeing my desktop, correct?
No, I'm not seeing. Yeah.
You know, you can get an app for the phone. We have apps that you can get for the phone, and you can see a desktop, or you can use a browser for the phone. But anyway, under the blue line tabs that we have on our website, under Education Starts Here, if you highlight that, and you come down to, courses, okay, you can click on courses, and it'll give you a list of all the courses that we have. Now, we have the foundation study, that's free. We have a civics course, that's free. We have a constitutional course, 101, that's free. We have a militia course, that's free. We have government by consent. We request people to be premium members for that. And a premium member is someone giving us $5 a month or more. And if you can't afford the $5, you let Jan know, we'll let you in anyway. But we have the jury administrator credit course. You must be a premium member for that. So again, it's the same thing if you're a premium member. Court access and the common law course. This is an in-depth course teaching due process. It's a 90-hour course. And we charge $125, I believe, for that course. So we have lots of courses. The jury administrator accredited course, I would strongly suggest you take all the other courses first and then end up into that one. And okay. But the real details for the jury administrator, as far as we're going to write a handbook, so that will guide people through that process of being an administrator. But we do want people that become administrators, we do want that they are educated basically in the law. I mean, you don't have to be able to articulate it well, nor do you have to be able to write cases, but just to have that exposure to it is the key, and to understand our Constitution, that's extremely important, and unalienable rights. It is important to understand due process. You can get a general view of that, but also through a lot of our courses, but again, court access and the common law course will give you the in-depth things. So that's what we have. We also have books if you're interested. You can find that under the Welcome tab. Come down to books by John Duresh, mm-hmm. and you can look at the books. We have Government by Consent book. We have Court Access and the Common Law. We have Memorandums of Common Law book. We have Understanding the Federal Courts. We have a book, A Study of Parables and the Book of Revelation. We have a handbook, What Must I Do to Be Saved? We have another one, When is the Rapture? We have County Committee of Safety, Committeeman Handbook. We have Committees of Safety Common Law Handbook. We have Founding Documents of the United States Handbook. We have the County Sheriff Common Law Handbook. We have the Common Law Pettigrew Handbook. We have the Common Law Grand Jury Handbook. We have a common law court handbook. That's a very valuable book if you're going to be in a court, you want to have something like that. And we have a common law handbook. So we have a lot of books. They're all available up for, I believe, very reasonable prices. We try to keep them as cheap as possible. The proceeds go to support what we're doing, by the way. Everything that we do in these books go right into NLA. It does help and assist me sometimes, of course, with my bills, personal bills, you know, to survive. But in any event, pays the bills here and then keeps me alive. So anyway, mm-hmm. that's the education we have more than that. That's just the basic and the major education. If you go into Education Starts Here, we have American history, we have history lectures, we have Christianity in America, we have the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, Founding Fathers and Political Parties, we have Founding Documents, we have biographies, we have Washington, Jefferson, Franklin, and many others. We have Continental Congress 2009, we've got the 5,000-year leap, and some of these we have audio, for instance, you can read and listen at the same time to the 5,000-year leap. And also to the Anti-Federalist Papers and the Federalist Papers. That's also in audio. You can download those MP3s. We have articles and essays on trial by jury. Trial by jury essay, a really excellent essay. It's quite long, 30, 40 pages, but it's powerful. We have many, many other articles and essays. We have educational videos. We have a lot of stuff on the law. We have just tremendous amounts of information and education. So we even go beyond the courses we have for people who want to get a deeper education. We have all the great works up here, you know, the great conversations over thousands of years. So anyway, we offer a real big education, and people can get what they want out of it.
I see that. I'm really glad that I ran across y'all about 3 weeks ago or so, this website. So thank you for that rundown. Where do I actually sign up on the website to join?
To become a member, if you go to the top part of our website on the right side, you'll see right under the blue bar, you'll see tech support, my account, unsubscribe, add event, calendar, and log out. If you're not logged in, it'll be sign up or log in. So you can sign up. It doesn't cost anything to sign up. But that gives you, when you sign up, it gives you access to the free courses. Uh-huh. Everything else on the website is free. We decided a long time ago we're not here to make money. We're here to educate. But we do need money to survive, so you know we have to make money somewhere.
Okay. So you said, was it the login or the register?
If you come in right now, you can't see my. I'm logged in, so what I see here is log out. And
it's the register.
Okay.
Yeah, it would say register there in that place, right?
Yes, it'll say register. So go ahead and register, fill out the form, and we'll get it approved as soon as we can.
Okay. Thank you for that. I think that was about it. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm looking at my things. After I register and join some of the courses and such, is there like a communicate through website or anything like that, or just do the this is Monday, right? The Monday night meetings, just come to that and then.
Well, we have Monday night meetings. It's 9 to 11 Eastern time, so figure that out from wherever you live in. And we do have on our Wednesday, if you come down, education starts here, come down and click on Bible studies. Mm-hmm. You'll get information to join us on a Wednesday night Bible study from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So on this page you'll find instructions and information to join us, which is in this room anyway. Okay, this is where we have the Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's usually a 45-minute to an hour Bible study, and then, if people have questions, or we can have a little discussion after that. Any corrections could be offered or so on, whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so that, and then we also have, we have start a committee of safety, and if you click on that, you can follow the breadcrumb trail that'll lead you through a lot of information, a lot of stuff, a lot of educating material, and all of that stuff is free, instructional videos and so on. And we're working to create committees of safety, which is what our founding fathers did to create this great nation and to govern themselves prior to that. Committees of safety, we're teaching people to create committees of safety in their county, which works on the grassroots. We have lots of instructional information on that, lots of instructional videos, all kinds of stuff. And if you go to our directory, you click on directory, what state are you in?
Georgia right now.
You're in Georgia. Okay, so if you click on a directory, you come down a little bit and you click on Georgia. Let me see, find Georgia. Okay, once I click on Georgia, it'll tell me we have 401 members in Georgia. There's 159 counties in Georgia, so we're looking to get 159 committees of safety going in Georgia. If you come down here, there's only one person in Georgia, two persons in Georgia that started committees of safety. One is in Jackson County, and the other one is in Richmond County. Okay, you have the contact name and phone number of that person, first name and contact. If you start a committee of safety, you can come up here and you can then register your committee of safety so that people can find you when they come up and look onto this registry.
Okay. I don't think I can see everything that you're seeing as far as the numbers and such, but I see the register and the states and all that, yeah.
And bear in mind, if you come under today's issues, okay, and you come down to NLA Monday Open Forum videos and you click on that, you can catch tonight's program, which usually gets put up there before midnight tonight. But you can click on that and you can watch the latest Monday night program. and you'll see the video at the same time, so that might help you, because we talked about a lot of things. But you can come back here and go through that. Yeah.
You're not sharing your screen. And caller, what was your first name?
Mine, Kimberly.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Kimberly. Thank you.
Okay, I thought I was sharing the screen, but there it is. I'm sharing the screen now.
Yeah, she can't see it, but others can.
Yeah. Real quickly, under Education Starts Here, you'll find good information. The Welcome tab, you'll find the books. Under Today's Issues, you'll find NLA Open Forum videos, which, again, we every Monday we'll post it up here. What I will suggest, you know, on YouTube, for instance, you know, I get commercial free. Most people probably do. And I don't know, whatever it costs, $12 a month, 10 bucks a month. For some reason, when you're watching, this is Rumble, by the way, and I'm the same thing with Rumble. I have commercial free on Rumble. But when you click on these things and play them on the website, the commercial, you see the commercials. So if you can get rid of the commercials by if you click on it.
America is back, thanks to President Trump.
She's playing right now. Let me
looking
this down.
No
skip ad.
You're incredibly creative.
This will be done in a second. All right. See those ads they put in there? But you can come down, click on Rumble, okay, and it'll take you right to the Rumble page, and then you can watch it commercial free if you pay for it without to, you know, so that you don't have to come up. But anyway, okay. Lots of stuff here.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we'll take our next caller. Let's see. We have Felicia. Felicia from Florida. You got the mic. How you doing, Felicia?
Hello?
Yep, you got the mic.
Okay, I got a couple of questions. What do you think about all these earthquakes, floods, mudslides, tsunamis, and everything? Some people may say the Bible's being fulfilled, but I do know that we have weather modifications, and Nikola Tesla's patents were stolen for earthquakes or whatever. What is your thought on that?
Yeah, I think it's HOP. I think it's a weapon. Well, I know it's a weapon. HOP is a weapon. I think they've been using it for a long time. They did a lot of that with hurricanes, with a lot of destruction and not taking care of the people during Biden's administration. We do have a lot of strange things going on. As far as the Bible is concerned, the Bible's not interested in that. The Bible says to be spiritually minded is life, to be carnally minded is death. And the Bible is a spiritual book, so we're to look for the spiritual pictures. You know? Floods identify with floods and false doctrines, for instance. But if you're interested in this subject matter, you can come to our Monday night Bible study.
I heard about it. I just wanted to throw that out there. Also, have you ever heard of Title Lock? Because there's new thing out called Title Lock where FBID that people or companies were stealing titles, paying $30 for the titles and deeds of people's houses and resell them as LLCs, which I know that's what happened to me because the people that was living in my house because, you know, I was making mortgage payments and they put me in foreclosure after taking money out of my account. And that's how I lost my house. And I did the research and went out and I went and got all the paperwork from downtown. And I spent a lot of money doing that and found out that he only paid like $40 to get the deed to my house. So now all of a sudden the FBI deeded that illegal. So now there's a company out that's trying to title lock people's deeds to their houses. So my thing is, what is NLA trying to do about that and the old cases from the past, which is mine that was included, into getting remedy for that?
Well, as far as getting remedy for that, remember there's no such thing as statutes of limitations in common law. What makes a case unable to go forward is the loss of your witnesses and the facts, and you can't build a case. You know, so that gives you the limitation, you know. But statutes of limitation is ungodly, and it's anti-justice, and it is not it's not proper to the common law. You know, they're talking right now, a lot of people talking, and I can't believe some of the people, highly educated individuals, talking that, well, Obama, he's got sovereign immunity. He does not have immunity from treason. He is not above the law, okay? And the courts have been clear on this, at least a lot of the older cases. And, you know, they don't want to hear it, but the facts are, because I bring it up in the courts often, because often they'll get a judge or someone saying that they got immunity from that. No, you don't. You stepped outside of your authority. You lost that immunity. And there's plenty of Supreme Court rulings on that. So if that's, for instance, I just wanted to cover that for the statutes of limitations. So there is no such thing as that in common law. So when we get courts of justice back, and we're striving to do that. I do believe that we're going to get our courts back. I don't know how long that's really going to take. We're working on the federal courts. I do believe that we'll probably. I know Trump is working on getting rid of a lot of these judges, putting a lot of new judges in, and we'll see how things go. I think maybe within this year, I think we might be able to move towards that, because I can see them starting to move towards justice now. You know, there's a lot of information. So if we could put it open, then...
It's thunder in Florida. So we're next to get hit.
Watch out. Florida's a bad place to be for storms, that's for sure. Anyway, if you save your case, save all your evidence, continue to build your case, learn how to go into court yourself. You can take our course. You know, we also have the book that you can get.
I've taken all the courses, and I have the books that I got off Amazon, which somebody put under their name, you know, that you guys aren't getting paid. I have my documents into those documents that I have. That from you guys are into the court system, in the court system, which they ignored.
Yeah, listen.
And I had to deliver them to the chair, too.
You're saying that someone's selling my books?
Yes.
Where do you
talk about them?
Well, there is only one. My first book, I got a publisher. Biggest mistake I ever made. Okay? So I had a publisher. Cost me a lot of money. Took 2 years to get my book out there. It was a mess. Now, they are selling that book, but it's a paperback, okay? They didn't do hardcovers. I wanted to do a hardcover because these are books that's a lot of reference to go back and use, and paperbacks fall apart. And this is a huge paperback with a rather classic. This has got to be, we're going to take measure on this. The thickness of this book.
I talked about that the last time.
It's 2 inches thick, okay, and it's a paperback. The spine's going to break real easy as time goes on. I was not happy at that, but I went and I put the hardcover. Now, all my other books are all on Amazon, so I don't have a publisher involved. Nobody else would be selling them. But government by consent, I do get money on it. But people buy it because I think they give you like $2 a book. You don't make a lot of money on a book. At least on Amazon, maybe I'll make 10 or 12 bucks on a book, but, on a big book, you know, like Government by Consent, Court Access and the Common Law, you know. But this paperback, it's not good for what we're doing if you're going to use it as a reference.
What do I need to do to proceed? Because the people that, you know, they gave my house to actually moved out, so they're trying to resell the deed to my house, and I have the official deed to my house. The only name on there is mine, and this is in the court system. It's in the court. Your documents are there. I even have a letter from Barack Obama when he was in office that's in my file, too.
Yeah, so, but was your home taken by some criminal organization or something, a group of people that are stealing your homes, or is it taken by the mortgage company or by the
mortgage company?
Okay, the mortgage company.
Yeah, they sold it to an LLC. I mean, okay. Do I need to send you all the documents all over again?
No. I can't go through all those documents, but no. Look, you just keep gathering your evidence together if you want to resurrect the case, because at some point in time we'll get back to just courts again. Now, one of the big problems we have is I think the federal courts can be cleaned up rather quickly. I think a lot of these judges are going to jail anyway, okay? And because it is for many, many other reasons other than the fact that they deny us due process and that is treason, okay?
Including BlackRock.
Yeah, the corporation?
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you notice, a lot of CEOs from these big organizations have been, they're deceased now, so I don't know.
A lot of them resigned too for reasons because they were being found out. And look, there's over 400 or about 450,000 sealed, indictments in the federal courts. 450,000. I think it's 462 or whatever, something like that. Okay. That is a huge number. Now, a lot of indictments that they've already started working on before, but we've got a lot of sealed ones. So who are these sealed people? Who are these people that they have indictments on that are sealed? Well, I think a lot of them are judges. I think a lot of them are judges. A lot of legislators, people in power and authority, not only on the federal level, but on the state level. So I think there's going to be a lot of judges disappearing once, and the law, it's starting to pour out now, okay? Pew says August is a hot month, and Trump has said numerous times over the past month, talking about something hot. Oh, things are getting hotter and hotter. He constantly brings that word up, if you pay attention to it. So we see that now they're talking about indictments. The Justice Department is now looking into grand jury hearings on Obama and that whole crew, all those people, Biden and all the people involved with them. And so there's a lot of things happening. All this is pouring out now. So I think by the end of this year, we may have courts of justice in the federal courts. So between now and then, if you intend on going into the courts, you want to educate yourself as best you can. You got some good books, read your books. Read other people's writing. Read our writings because, we're writing from the perspective of the plaintiff, So you'll learn to write by reading other people's writings, okay?
NLA is a very good organization. I mean, I learned a lot, and I mean a lot.
Well, one of the things you're going to want to do
is a lot about it, and they just stuck. They don't want to know. It's like, okay.
You're right. They don't want to hear it. And a lot of these people, they've been so brainwashed, and they've never really been taught who we are as a people. I'm talking about these people who are lawyers, especially lawyers that are, let's say, under 40, the education has gotten worse as time goes on, and the new lawyers coming in is even worse, so they're maybe in their 20s and 30s. But the thing is that we're going to get courts of justice back on the federal level. It's going to take a little time to get them back on the state level, but hopefully a lot of those judges will go to jail too. But once we go into the courts, if they refuse us our due process, we have the federal courts to protect and require that due process. That's the key. And so if you're going to plan on doing that, you want to learn how due process works. Now, the book will help you. Court access in the common law book will definitely help you. A lot of forms and information. But the course is much more in-depth. It's a 90-hour video course. Have you taken that course?
I took all of them.
Even court access in the common law?
I took them all.
Okay, yeah, but court access in the common law is the one that costs $125, okay?
I'm going to take that one. I'll take all the ones except that one.
Okay. Well, that must be
a kind of, because I've been, trying to handle, family things going on, and I've been away for a minute, but,
Well, that's the course that's going to really teach you how to do to how due process works. You're going to learn how to write papers, the anatomy of a court case, okay? And so, you know, I suggest if you're going to build a case, you should start on that course, working on that course, continue to collect your evidence, and write your case now. Write your case now, and then set it aside, and a week later, come back and read it and start massaging it, okay? And the more and more you read and study, and then you come back and read and study the papers you write, you're going to start to see a lot of errors that you can repair. You're going to start to see ways of writing things. You may pick something up on a memorandum we wrote here in one of our books, and you may pull some language out of that, and you'll make a lot of changes. You know, when I write a case, I probably rewrite that case 10 times, I mean, at least. I write a case, I'll set it aside, I'll come back and read it again. Always making changes, constantly. Changing words, getting better words to say, trying to say it less. Trying to keep things into memorandums when I expound on something and keep the main part of the court case clean and focused and, you know, not confusing. So you should be writing your case now and practicing getting that. I strongly suggest to take the
court. It's already been filed. It's in the court system.
Well, but you're not going to win. You know that.
Say again?
You're not going to win. You know that, right?
Who?
You.
You don't think I'm going to win?
Nobody wins. You don't win up against these people. I guess occasionally someone can win, but it's rare. And far and in between.
And I'm going to tell you, I beg to differ because man has the ability to manipulate the masses into thinking they are in control when they're not.
Mm-hmm. Well, the point is until we get judges that will allow a court of record to be open, a true court of record, unadulterated, you know, with a jury that's untainted, until we can get that, we're not going to win our cases. They'll throw you out before you get anywhere with it. We've got mortgage cases. We've got so many of them in the courts, and they throw them all out. Lots of people that have filed in the courts, and we refile their papers, and they throw you out constantly, you know. But all that is proof of their treason, ultimately. But what I'm trying to say is this, okay? The case is in court, you know, keep it alive, keep it going, but start rewriting it again. Or take the case you have, and as you study, put it away for a week, and as you study, then you come back and you're going to massage it, make it better and better, because you're probably going to have to refile it at some point. And when we get courts of justice back. So.
Well, they're on their way out, because, you know, as for what I know, something's coming, and I know it's a Dyson sphere, so. Anybody know what that is?
We only got a few minutes. I got one other caller here, so you have the final statement?
Okay. Nope. Just want to get it resolved.
Okay. Good talking to Felicia.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. We'll take our last caller here. Big guy, what's your first name and your state? You got the mic.
Richard.
Richard from?
Just a follow-up to last week. On the old deal of being arrested. I was going through your common law court handbook, and I came across a couple things in there and something kind of interesting. I was in Hennepin County, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The arresting was and the warrant was from North Dakota, just so you know that. When I was in North Dakota and waiting to get my appointment, or schedule the date for me to, you know, appear in court over this thing. The judge, there's about 15 of us in the room, all waiting for the same thing. They had to make that first appearance and then whatever. And I was probably down to the last three that were doing that. But something the judge did that I didn't recall him reading to anybody else, he read what my rights were, that I am innocent until proven guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. So he read me my rights, and that's the only one that nobody else in the room had gotten that. And there's been guys that did other things. But what I wanted to get, I was going through your book in here, and there's some things on here that I wanted to get into. There's this thing about lack of standing. And then the other one was on page, I wrote it down here, page 157 about, no, that's not the right page. 159, the burden of proof lies on them who asserts the fact, not on him who denies it. So I feel like I have to prove my innocence when it's in fact dead. And I did get a copy of all the report and thing, which the warrant I got when they extradited me back up to North Dakota, that was the first time I got a warrant. And when I was talking to the sheriff down in the Minnesota side, they have to give us a copy of the warrant when they arrest us. And I was reading something about, you know, probable cause, and there has to be information provided to make that arrest. I was not given a copy of the warrant. And on the probable cause to arrest provides details on or how to determine if a crime has been or is being committed.
Well, if none of these things help you, you got to make them do the right thing. You have to bring it up. You see, that's where knowledge comes in. It's important. But go ahead.
Okay. I will do that then. All right. Well, what I wanted to know, I also have been given a choice to, for that appearance thing, that I can choose a judge or a jury.
Well, a jury trial would be a court of record, okay? And that's what you probably would want. I mean, which case is this? Is this the one we've been discussing over the month
or
so?
Yes.
Well, look, first of all,
let me give one other thing that I found in your common law court handbook. Breach of an obligation. I've been trying to find out, okay, what happens if somebody breaches it? And we'll just stick with this lease thing. She has breached it so many times. And she's
what
I want
to
get at is this.
Get the criminal thing.
Let me finish. This is very important. This is part of my question why I'm calling. And it had to do about this breach of obligation. Then there was another one, malicious prosecution. And I read that part. It's on page 254 of that book. Malicious prosecution, one begun in malice without probable cause to believe the charges can be sustained. And it gives the court case. And an incident with intention of injuring the defendant and without probable cause, and which terminates in favor of the person prosecuted. Then for this action, there lies called the action of malicious prosecution.
Okay.
And now the burden of proof is saying instead that I willfully and intentionally went into this building. And it doesn't really say a tenant building. It just says a building, occupied or unoccupied. And that I willfully went into that building with intent to commit a crime.
What kind of crime?
It doesn't say.
Okay, stop.
It's called burglary.
Stop. Let me respond to some of these things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
First of all, you know, the building or the house was empty, correct? There's nothing in it. Nobody lived in it.
Say
correct?
Again?
The house that you went into the garage, where to put the clicker, I guess, for the garage door. Nobody was living in that house, correct?
No, it was torn apart. They were getting ready.
Okay, so there's nothing in there to steal, correct?
Right.
Okay, so that's point one. The other thing is your intent was to return that clicker. Okay, that was your intent.
Yes.
They have to prove that you had the intent to commit a crime. What crime do you think I intended to do, and how are you going to prove it? That's the question. What's the proof that you have that I had an intent to do something? There was nothing in that house, so what did I go in there for? If I went in there to replace something, or if I went in there to steal something, there's nothing in there to steal. So, and, you know, on that page 159, the burden of proof lies on him who asserts the facts, not on him who denies it. Because from the very nature of things, a negative cannot be proof. So you see, they have, what proof do they, you see, this thing called discovery, are you taking care of your own business or do you have a lawyer? I don't know.
No, I have a public defender lawyer, which happens to be the chief one of all the public defenders. Now, when I was in the court, I talked to the sheriff and he said, can you trust these guys? No, Sheriff Johnner, he wants public defenders that are working for the defendant, not for the court.
Okay, this guy should have shut this case down a long time ago. Okay, he should have shut it down and moved for a summary judgment, and that was that. You know, summary judgment is fine if it's going to be for a dismissal, okay, because they have no facts, okay? Now, have you read the papers? And what's he – have you – look, at lawyers who don't represent you, they won't even talk to you about the case. They'll ask you some questions. You'll give them some information. But whatever they write, they don't discuss that with you. I'd want to know. What is
I want to do with the question about discovery, so that's what I want to get to the next thing.
Well, that's the point you have to ask. What's up with the discovery? You know, what evidence do they have that I was in there to commit a crime? And what crime do they think I was trying to commit? Your lawyer.
They have a witness.
Stop. You got to listen to what I'm saying.
I will. Okay.
Your lawyer, okay, should, or at this point in time, the question is what crime? What's the papers saying? Have you read the papers that they?
Yes.
And what crime did they lay upon you?
They don't list one.
Okay, so there's nothing.
They just cite the statute.
Who was injured? What statute?
Right.
What statute?
It's a burglary in violation of section 12.
Burglary of what? Were you going to try to steal the house? Are you going to take it off its foundation? What were you going to steal?
Yeah. As I was reading on that when I was in jail. But here's a word they use.
Lawyers are morons. Well, most lawyers are morons, okay? They have no they write the same papers. It's all gibberish. They talk about different court cases. They don't do anything to win the case. This guy should have a long time ago moved for a summary judgment. Just by looking at the papers, there's probably nothing in there because it doesn't say what crime you're trying to commit. If it's burglary, what were you coming to burglarize? And what proof do you have of my intent? Doesn't matter that someone saw you. You went in there and you said that you were replacing the clicker and leaving it in the garage. So they got somebody who saw you going in and out of the house, I guess, and so big deal. That doesn't prove anything. That was your home. You were there. You were returning something.
Well, the part that this is in question about, I had a right to be in there. The lease says, and we didn't get into it last time, but the lease said that we were going month to month on the lease because we had no idea when the closing was actually going to take. It kept getting bumped.
I can't get into all the details, but let me just ask you a question. When was the lease? How long after you
leased out? Please, let me say this. This is very important on this whole thing. I had a right to be in that building. The lease specifically says on a month-to-month lease, both parties, the tenants and the landlord, must give a 60-day notice of vacating. We told her we're going to go month-to-month, and we'll get that 60-day notice when we're going to be closing. She gave us a 30-day notice that we had to move out.
Well,
that was it.
I understand, but if you moved out, then that's it. It's done.
But now, that's what I'm getting. She breached the lease, and does she have any cause to be able to go out and say I had no right to be in there?
Let me ask you a question, okay? I can't get into all these details because, look, you should be worried about the criminal thing. Not forget about going to sue her. It's all another different thing. You want to do that later. You need to deal with the point here that's at hand. The question is, what day or what month and roughly what day did you take everything out, and how many days after that did you go back to return that clicker?
We took everything out. It was after July 31st.
Okay, and when did you go back in to return the property?
I went back in there several times, as I told her. We can't get everything done.
I'm asking a question. What months did you leave?
We went back. Now, on the 31st of the day,
hold on a minute.
We're not going to be able to get all this stuff done. I'm going to need to come back into this house to finish the job.
Okay. I'm going to ask the question one more time. I think you answered it, but let me ask the question one more time.
Okay.
To the best of your knowledge, give me a date that you actually left with your last item that you owned. What's the date, roughly?
It would have been August 7th or 8th.
Okay, what date did you go back to return the property?
August 31.
So it was within 20 some odd days.
Yeah.
What was the, did they file a paper for you to leave, or you just left and they filed, or how did that work out?
She just gave us a 30-day notice to vacate. No cause or anything, just said you have 30 days to get out.
Okay, well,
and I told her we're not going to get everything done in 30 days. We didn't close until the
20th
of July.
Hey, listen, okay. In order for it to be lawful, it has to be a court, number one. And the sheriff has to come. You know, that's the finalized thing. But, if you left the house and you come back 30 days later, well, again, it's not that long a time.
I told her, but I was supposed to get a 60-day notice.
She doesn't care. We're talking about winning the case in court. I don't know what's up with the lawyer. Go get another lawyer.
Say again?
Go get another lawyer. I don't understand this lawyer. He should have made this case very clear and pressed this issue on a hearing to shut this case down.
Our court I got this stuff last week, and I've been going over it. But here, can you explain lack of standing? Is there anything that we've talked about so far?
Who are they claiming has lack of standing?
I'm just saying, could I claim lack of standing?
But I don't understand. Look at lack of standing.
What is lack of standing?
I'm going to try to explain it to you. A lot of people misunderstand this, okay? If you're not clear in your case on your right and your position of whatever it is you're doing, if you're not clear on it, you lack standing. Okay? Has nothing to do with some exercise you have to do or everybody else is injured too, so you have lack standing. That's not what it is. A lot of people may think that that's what it is. You have to go back and look at the papers, and if you look very carefully, if they claim you have lack of standing, it's because you didn't make your case clear. That's what they're really talking about.
So in the document, they didn't really make their case clear what they're doing.
You're not going to get your lawyer to go do anything with lack of standing.
Okay.
He's not going to listen to you. So I don't even know why you bothered. Look, you just want to win the case. Tell your lawyer to shut this case down. At this next hearing, you tell your lawyer you want this case shut down. You don't understand. What proof do they have that you came to steal anything when there's nothing in the house, number one? Number two, your intent was to return something and leave it in the house. That's what you did, okay? So if they can claim anything else, this is a stupid case. It's pathetic.
I showed it to the sheriff in Minnesota. He said, you'll be okay on this one.
I think you're making too much of it. You're really worrying about nothing. But your lawyer.
Why don't I want to miss out on something?
If your lawyer doesn't shut this case down on the first hearing, you have a major problem. Because it's a stupid case.
That's what the deputy sheriff said when he first told me about this thing.
So I think you're making a mountain out of this thing when really, look at, I don't think there's anything to worry about, to be honest with you. And if your lawyer doesn't have it shut down on the first hearing, then you got a problem with your lawyer. But with that, we'll pass our time. So I can
know that I'm going to have a meeting with him 2 weeks before the court date because he said he wanted to have a court. But here's one of the things I got. What they're using as their proof, I think, is that the sheriff or the deputy, the police officer, he said he tried calling me several times and left a voicemail. Okay, so now I'm going to get, wait a minute. Now, this other so-called witness is a crash witness. He went into all a bunch of details. I took the arm out of my pocket. I tried getting into the house. He was coached in what to say in this thing.
So what? Big deal.
But the thing that's got my attention is that this police officer said he called me several times, and then I didn't answer, but he left a voicemail. Now, my iPhone keeps track of every freaking call, even the ones when I delete things. Now, there's no voicemail in there. There's no record of anybody calling me.
You're worrying about too many things that you don't have to worry. Who cares about this, number one? Number two, if you really want to prove anything, go get your phone record and you look for his number in there. If you don't see his number in there, then he didn't call you. If you do, then he did call you. But what's the big...
That.
There you go.
So I have it. I do have it. But can I go back and do this discovery thing? That was the last thing I wanted to ask about discovery. There was something about the Rule of 16 discovery. It ended on July 21. Well, I didn't get this stuff until after July, a week or two after July.
I have no clue what you're talking about. That doesn't even make sense. Discovery is part of
discovery.
You haven't even been to court hearings yet to get to discovery. Discovery comes at a point in time when other things take place. There's lots of things that take place before discovery starts. They have to write a paper. You have to do your denials. And again, I know it's criminal, but there still you have to do a denial, an affidavit of denial of everything that they made a claim in that paper. Did you do that?
No.
Well, there's something wrong with your lawyer then, isn't there?
Well, when I read his letter, it makes it sound like I'm pleading guilty or innocent, nothing about whatever. But I want to have a meeting with him this week, but I wanted to talk to you.
Your lawyer is going to talk for you, and you're not even going to do an affidavit. And your lawyer is going to try to do an affidavit for you, and that's just hearsay. But they go on that anyway. Look, you're making a mountain out of something that you don't need to. If you want to sue them sue him later. Don't get involved in all that conversation now. The thing is, is intent. They got to approve intent.
Yet so that's the whole thing we got to work on. That's what the another police officer did the same thing. He said, you should be in good shape on this one. They're going to have to prove that you intended.
We got to close down. Okay, but
And then the other thing was, I wasn't given a copy of the warrant at the arrest time. There's a lot of things. My First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment rights were violated. But is that something for later?
Well, welcome to the club. None of us get what we need to or should be getting.
Yeah,
and if you don't know to ask for it and demand it and require it, you know, even write a paper to demand it, you know, if you don't know to do those things, you're not going to get anything because they're not going to help you. And they're
well,
all
the
late.
The one that I want is that she's a very malicious person. Something without no chance she's going to get anything, but she just wants to make my life miserable. She wants to defame my credit. She wants to defame my character, and she doesn't care. She's a witch. And
that has nothing to do with what you're trying to do now. That's
what we're going.
I think
so
once you settle the case,
summary judgment to have this.
Settle the case, I suggest walk away. It's just not worth the aggravation. You seem to really be angry that you want to do something back to her.
No, I just want to make. No, I don't want to. She's doing things to me.
It's way over time. I mentioned this three times now. We got to go. It's way over time. But I'm just telling you that you need to focus on the criminal part of this case, which is very simple. Should be a slam dunk. You should be able to walk out of there in the first hearing. And if not, then there's something wrong with your lawyer. And if you need a meeting with your lawyer, there needs to be an affidavit put into that case before you even get there so he can close the case down. Because without a sworn statement, you can't even close the case. You haven't rebutted what they said. So if you rebut it and you look for, well, where is the crime here? What was I here to steal? Where is the proof of intent? You know,
without
an
affidavit,
there's no crime.
Would the affidavit do that? Where's your proof of intent?
Of course an affidavit. It's a rebuttal.
Okay.
A rebuttal. And your lawyer should... Look, your lawyer's not going to have you write the affidavit. He's going to write it for you, and he's going to write it from his perspective and on his client's behalf, he's going to say these things and that things. Now, that's all hearsay, but they accept it anyway. You just need to make sure he gets the right stuff.
Can I insist on reviewing that affidavit before he does anything with it?
You should assist on every piece of paper, everything that moves in that court case.
Yep, I go
into court and I see people sometimes, you know, a lot of small cases, small decisions and stuff I've sat in on. And the lawyers there arguing this point or that point, and the two lawyers are going back and forth, you know, from their seats, so to speak. And the client is there just like not paying attention, looking behind, seeing who's...
Uh-huh.
Brain dead. People are brain dead in this stuff.
Get
in touch with your case. Take control of your case.
Would the police officer say he tried to call me, and could that just destroy his testimony as well? Because he got no proof of it. And he said no. But one thing he did say, he saw no evidence of forced entry. So that's in my favor.
It's a big deal. What does that have to do with the case? It doesn't have anything to do with the case. Big deal.
Yeah.
So you didn't call him. You missed the call. Big deal. Life goes on.
Yeah. Well, I've never got any notices on any of this stuff. And next thing you know, 9 months later, I thought she just dropped the doggone thing. I never heard nothing about it. And
how many times did he call you?
He said several times.
How many is several? 2, 3, 5?
Exactly. But the one with the kicker was that he said he left a voicemail. And that's when I went back into my phone and looked it up.
I don't see it to have any impact anyway, so.
Well,
I gotta go.
Okay, so we're gonna work on what you said. Just work on making them prove. Where's your evidence?
What's that?
Make them. I have to. Where's your evidence?
Go look on the papers that they filed against you. If there is no showing of anything that proves intent, you got a paper to rebut that and make that point. It's that simple.
Okay.
All right, gotta go.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, with that, we're going to end our program. Good night, everybody. Hopefully, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.